Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. As Pope Benedict XVI's apostolic journey to Mexico and Cuba unfolds, we look back at moving and significant moments of the Mexican leg and forward to a three-day visit to Cuba. The papal spokesman, Jesuit Father Federico Lombardi, expresses his own impressions and expectations for the journey. The director of Vatican Radio's German program, who preceded the Pope to Cuba, speaks of the atmosphere on the island nation as people there prepared to welcome him. And what about the crocodile? Yes, the Cuban crocodile, hosted by Rome Zoo, who was brought to a papal audience some weeks ago, has meanwhile also been flown back to Cuba, where hopefully it will manage to adapt to its native environment. Pope Benedict XVI is halfway through an intense apostolic journey, taking him to Mexico and to Cuba. The journey, which began on Friday the 23rd of March, led him first to the central Mexican city of León and then to Guanajuato, where he met the president and celebrated Mass, before returning to León for Vespers. Vatican Radio's Philippa Hitchin is travelling with the Pope, and as the Mexican leg of the journey wrapped up, she looked back at the nation's encounter with Pope Benedict XVI, the man they call brother and friend.
Visiting Latin America and Mexico in particular, the term popular piety takes on a whole new meaning. Known for their deep Marian devotion, which permeates both public and private life here, Mexicans are also famed for their special affection for the Pope. The previous pontiff, John Paul II, came here 5 times, and his smiling face can still be seen in shop windows, on flags, banners, hats and T-shirts, worn proudly by young and old alike. And the reception reserved for the present Holy Father, Benedict XVI, has also exceeded all expectations. Thousands of people have been out lining the papal routes at all hours of the day and night, singing and cheering slogans hailing Benedict as hermano, brother, and amigo, friend. The Pope did indeed come as a brother and a friend to strengthen the deep and passionate faith of these people through a close-up and personal encounter with the successor of St. Peter. But he also came to assure church leaders, bishops, priests and laymen and women that he shares their concerns, the sufferings and challenges they face in a country where violence, corruption, injustice and poverty are on the rise, despite significant economic growth in recent years. Benedict didn't offer any quick-fix solutions to these problems, though he and his Secretary of State, Cardinal Tarcisio Bertone, did speak out forcefully about the importance of guaranteeing human rights and full religious freedom at a time when the Mexican government is debating a new law to lift the last vestiges of its violently anti-clerical past. But during his short visit to this Catholic heartland of Mexico, the Pope did provide a new sense of hope to people here that their deep-rooted devotion to Christ the King and to his Blessed Mother can overcome the evil they experience in their daily lives. Just as the country 2 centuries ago struggled for national independence and the Church 100 years ago stood firm in the faith during the dark days of the Cristero Civil War, so today, too, Mexican Catholics must find the courage to be a leaven in society, to stand up against the violence and become promoters of a more just and peaceful society. In Mexico, with Pope Benedict, I'm Philippa Hitchin.
As I mentioned before, Pope Benedict celebrated Vespers in León's Cathedral on Sunday evening. It was the last major event on his itinerary in Mexico. Philippa, of course, was there. And she tells us more about the message that the Pope had for bishops from Mexico and all across Latin America who'd come to be part of this short but intense papal visit.
Talking with journalists on the flight over to Mexico, Pope Benedict stressed that his visit was a sign of continuity with his predecessor, John Paul II, who visited this country 5 times during his long pontificate. Nowhere is that sense of continuity more visible than in the imposing cathedral in the bustling heart of León, where the Pope went to celebrate Vespers on Sunday with bishops from across Mexico and other Latin American countries. Outside the Baroque facade with soaring twin spires stands a larger-than-life-size statue of John Paul II, with outstretched hand welcoming visitors into its elegant interior. Founded by the Jesuits in the mid-18th century, before they were expelled from the country, the cathedral was completed over 100 years later and consecrated to Our Most Holy Mother of Light. It was the Pope of that period, Pius IX, who created the Diocese of León, and a marble bust of him sits on one side of the sanctuary. On the other is a bust of Pope Benedict XV, who raised the cathedral to a minor basilica in the early 20th century. A fitting place, then, for the latest successor of Peter to come and confirm Mexican Catholics in their journey of faith, to urge them to keep their eyes fixed on the ancient painting of Our Lady of Light, which hangs high above the main altar, venerated by pilgrims over the centuries. In 1902, under another pope, Leo XIII, the painting was crowned, reinforcing its reputation as a powerful protector of the people of León. In the past, Our Lady of Light has been credited with saving the city from epidemics, storms and plagues, not to mention making it a place of refuge during the many invasions and revolutions that have devastated other parts of the country.
La situación actual de sus dioceses plantea ciertamente retos.
In his words to the bishops at Vespers, Pope Benedict encouraged them to continue their mission of deepening the faith despite the many contemporary challenges and sufferings they face, urging them to pay greater attention, especially to the lay faithful engaged in catechesis, social work and charitable activities. He said the Church, often united to Christ in his passion, must continue to be a seed of hope across the continent. A message of continuity in the faith, which will resound with the people of Mexico long after the papal plane takes off at the end of this historic visit to their country. In Mexico, with Pope Benedict, I'm Philippa Hitchin.
Well, following the Vespers in León's cathedral, the Pope was treated to a little extra, some off-schedule entertainment, to which he responded with enthusiasm and joy, as Tracy McClure reports.
They were waving colourful Mexican and Vatican flags and dancing to the vibrant music of a big group of traditionally dressed Mexican musicians, the so-called mariachi folklore singers, who serenaded the Pope in true Mexican style. Pope Benedict unexpectedly appeared outside the residence at one point, wearing a Mexican sombrero, thanking the pilgrims for their warm welcome.
Caros amigos, muchísimas gracias por vuestro entusiasmo.
Dear friends, muchos gracias for this enthusiasm, said the Pope.
Sono molto felice di essere con voi. Ho fatto tanti viaggi, ma mai sono stato ricevuto con tanto entusiasmo.
I'm very happy to be with you. I've made many trips, but I've never been received with so much enthusiasm.
El Santo Padre nos dice que él ha hecho tantos viajes, pero nunca, nunca ha sido recibido con tanto entusiasmo.
Porterò con me nel mio cuore.
I will take with me in my heart these impressions of these days, said the Pope. Mexico will always be in my heart.
Mexico va permanecer siempre en mi corazón.
E posso dire che già da anni prego ogni giorno per Messico, ma in futuro pregherò ancora molto più.
And I can say that for years I have been praying every day for Mexico, but in the future I'll pray a lot more.
Però a partir de ahora voy a orar mucho más.
Adesso posso capire perché Papa Giovanni Paolo II ha detto io mi sento un Papa messicano.
Now I understand, he said, why Pope John Paul II said, I feel like a Mexican pope.
Ahora me siento un papa mexicano.
Cari amici, anche se sono felicissimo di questo incontro,
dear friends, even though I'm very happy for this encounter, you will forgive me, the Pope said, if I leave you, because tomorrow will be a very busy day.
Concludo questa giornata con la mia benedizione.
I conclude this day by bestowing on you my blessing.
Me voy a retirar con mi bendición.
Vi benedica Dio onnipotente. Padre e Figlio e Spirito Santo. Buenas noches.
And with that, buenas noches. I'm Tracy McClure.
As I mentioned, Philippa Hitchin is travelling with the Pope. And so is, of course, Vatican Press Office Director and Papal Spokesman, Jesuit Father Federico Lombardi. Philippa caught up with him and asked him to comment on some of the highlights of the trip so far, as well as on the message the Pope leaves behind with the Church and the people of Mexico.
Father Lombardi, coming over on the plane to Mexico, the Pope talked about a certain schizophrenia of faith between a faith of the heart and a faith of the mind, between the very popular devotions that can be seen everywhere here in Mexico and the need to make that somehow a deeper, stronger faith. How would you describe the Church here?
I think that the Pope stressing this problem is stressing a problem that is universal. Is the faith has several dimensions, an intellectual knowledge dimension, and also a dimension of the heart, that is also the sensitivity, the more human dimension of the affects and so on. Both are necessary. And in this sense, I think that the Pope sees in the Mexican tradition, in the intertradition of the Mexican Church and of the devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe, a very profound heart dimension that is a richness. But it is not enough. In this sense, it is necessary to have also a more systematic and profound education of the faiths.
The Pope came here as a messenger of hope to this country which has so many severe problems of violence, particularly drug-related violence, and the Pope has spoken about this. What do you think perhaps he can leave behind? What can he leave to the Church here to help it become more effective in tackling these problems?
The Pope does not have technical solutions. His mission here was to encourage and to help large people in his faith to find the engagement to renew the effectiveness of this faith, the profoundness and the effectiveness of this faith. And I think he has done this very well, with clear and simple words, and the people have understood it. I have heard some observers saying, yes, it was exactly what the people here were waiting. They were not waiting from the Pope political solutions or technical solution for the security. This is not what the Church has. But the confidence that the Pope has given them that if they have a profound faith, if they are united to Jesus Christ in their daily life, they can renew something in their daily life, and then in concrete forms of engagement in the social field, to have with the other the capacity to build a more solidary society, more just society. And the Pope has expressed this in a very clear and simple way. I think it was this that the Pope could do, and with clear references to the situation, because the Pope is in a concrete history of a people. And the people were happy, were expecting this exactly, and they have found an answer to their expectation.
Certainly they've given him an incredibly warm welcome beyond even the expectations of the organisers of this visit. What do you think has been his personal highlight, perhaps?
I think that the Pope came with a profound love for these people, knowing that the people with a large heart and that has a long tradition of love for the successor of Peter. Then the Pope came with confidence to encounter these people, but knowing that these people had not yet the possibility to meet him in large masses, in large numbers. There are groups that are coming to Rome, but the people in the generality, that is the millions of people that are in Mexico, they remember always John Paul II had this image concrete of the Pope, and they had not yet a concrete idea of the new Pope. And I think that this visit was exactly responding to this request.
Finally, moving on to Cuba now, another very challenging situation. What are his hopes, perhaps his expectations, as he travels there?
Yeah, I think that the spirit, the inspiration of the trip is the same, that is the hope, to give hope for the people. And they are people both with problems, with difficulties, and that with the difficulties to see their future. And then in this sense, I think that the message of the Pope will be the same. It is to encourage the people that have a long history of problems to hope that a new future is possible, and to encourage the Church to be very active, a very active element of the building of this new future. A Church that has suffered in the past in Cuba very much, the loss of the institution and the activities, but is very present now with a spirit of love, of charity, of not with large numbers of faithfuls, but it is so present in the society that can express very well the expectation of the society and can be positive and active instrument for the building of a society in the sense of the Christian values, that is, with solidarity, with reconciliation, with hope in the future, with solid values for the family, for the education, for the social engagement, for the justice for all. And in this sense, the Pope can bring a very positive message for the Church and for the land.
That was Vatican Press Office Director and Papal Spokesman, Jesuit Father Federico Lombardi. We speak of Pope Benedict XVI's apostolic visit to Mexico and Cuba and say it all in one breath. As a matter of fact, Mexico and Cuba are two extremely different nations. And although they have their roots in a common Latin American and Spanish heritage and culture, Their histories and political developments have contributed to shape profoundly different realities, which are evident in all expressions of life and faith. Whilst Mexico is the second most Catholic country in the world, Cuba's totalitarian regime has set the ground for a very different situation awaiting the Pope. But prepare for the visit, the Cubans certainly did, both the people and the authorities. The director of Vatican Radio's German program, Jesuit Father Bernd Hagenkord, travelled to the capital Havana a couple of days before the Pope's arrival on Monday. He walked the streets and talked to the people there to find out what their expectations were and how they intended to greet him.
It is not your usual papal visit, which begins this Monday. It is obvious to everyone who wanders through the streets of La Habana these days. The visit is almost invisible. We are in year 54 of the revolution, and the signs of the times tell of changes, beginning with small economic measures. However, this does not change the overall relationship between church and state. There is no public advertisement in La Habana, no billboards, no one tries to sell anything in the loud and visible way. To the Western eye, this is rather relaxing for a change. However, this also goes for the papal visit. There are hardly any pictures or banners welcoming Benedict XVI. There are some minor posters hanging on lampposts, but that is about it. The people on the streets, however, know about their visitor. Alejandro, for example, he wears his rosary like a necklace for the occasion. On a normal Monday, he would be working in a small shop producing Cuba's famous cigars, but since all Havana has 2 days off, he enjoys his day. Later he will go to the airport to greet the Pope. In the parish around the corner, there are special prayer services for the visit. The people there wish for stimuli for their faith and for their small but ever-growing community. The journalists mostly went to the Church of Santa Rita on Sunday. There, in the quarter of the town where the embassies are located, there they wanted to contact the Damas en Blanco, women who protest against the imprisonment of members of their family. The parish priest, Father José Félix, who also serves as Deputy Secretary General of the National Conference of Bishops, had to admonish the assembled visitors with their cameras not to disturb the service. Afterwards, some of the ladies in white told us that they will attend the papal mass, but not dressed in white. They want to celebrate with the Pope, not demonstrate. A lot of preparation went into this visit, organizational as well as diplomatical, although this is not really visible in the streets. However, and in this all the people I could talk to agree, it will, like its predecessor, leave a changed church and, as many people hope, a changed country. From Havana, Father Bernd Hagenkord.
Now for a story you may already have heard something of. It's about a Cuban crocodile who actually met the Pope a few weeks ago and happily was flown back home shortly afterwards to be returned to its natural habitat and hopefully live happily ever after. Seeing the crocodile off in mid-March, the Vatican substitute for general affairs, Archbishop Giovanni Angelo Becciu, said the initiative symbolizes respect for nature and friendship between nations. But to discover more about the story, Veronica Scaresbrick went to see the crocodile's keeper at Rome Zoo, discovered that it belongs to an endangered species and had illegally been smuggled into Italy. It was shown to Pope Benedict during a papal audience, which also marked the 100th anniversary of the zoo's foundation.
Yeah, my name is Itzhak Yadid.
Where are you from?
Oh, where I am from? Itzhak, of course, I'm from Israel.
Tell me, what is your particular expertise professionally?
Well, I'm the curator here. Actually, I'm in charge of the animal collection and the keepers of the zoo. And I've been working in the zoo environment all my life, practically, starting in Jerusalem, and the last 10 years here at Rome.
Okay, you had the privilege, I suppose, of taking a crocodile to see Pope Benedict XVI. Can you tell me a little bit about this crocodile?
Well, this crocodile, it's actually a confiscated animal. It arrived to the bioparco to the forestale. These are the people who are in charge of nature protection of different animal species. And this animal was actually smuggled into Italy around 3 years ago by a Cuban woman. The story is, that's what they told us the first time, that he was strapped to her leg with a tape. Okay? Yes. And it was very small, I guess. She brought him in, and it was in their house. And actually what happened, according to the story, I think she had been living with an Italian guy, maybe. They've been fighting. The police was called. The police came over and found this crocodile. And of course, they called the forestale. The forestale came and they found out about permits, etc. And they found out that the animal actually was smuggled. So it was confiscated right away from them. So in Italy, this crocodile arrived around 3 years ago, as we said. And according to what this woman is telling, it was taken directly from the wild. You know, she indicated the name of the area in Cuba where it was taken from. It doesn't look like it's an animal in such a good shape, because we are talking about an animal more than 3 years of life, about 3 to 4 years, which is around 40 centimeters long. 3-4 years of a crocodile, it should be much more than 1 meter long. It probably wasn't taken care well, it wasn't probably fed well, and therefore it didn't grow up, didn't develop that well. Hopefully we'll be able to put it in as soon as possible in shape. And we do have the intention to, if we'll be able to arrange it, of course we need the okay of the judge of the court in Italy, and we need a place in Cuba who is willing to accept this animal. But our president is very much determined to send it back to Cuba.
It's a species which is almost extinct, no?
Yeah, there are not so many Cuban crocodile in Cuba, and then there is the hybridization problem with another species of crocodile that lives nearby, the American crocodile. So it is an endangered species, it's an important species, and therefore taking him back, it's actually, beside being a symbolic act, it's an important action.
It's also time for when the Pope goes to Cuba, no?
Yeah, of course, we will try to synchronize the whole thing together. But again, if we'll be able to get all the permits done in the right time, yes, it will be synchronized. It will happen at the same time.
You went to see the Pope. I saw a photograph of you holding the crocodile in your hand. The Pope looked on, and he was kind of amused by the crocodile, no?
Yeah, he asked me, what is it? And then in the little time that I had, I tried to explain to him that we are talking about Cuban crocodile. I tried to tell him that we are talking about an endangered species. And I told him that it was confiscated in Italy, and we will try either to insert it in a conservation program, a program that we have as part of the European Zoo Association. We are members of the European Zoo Association. Or, again, as I said before, trying to send him back to Cuba. I tried to explain to him this concept very, very fast, because they didn't let me stay next to him for too long.
Did he say anything?
No, he just was looked. He looked and looked as if it was like as if he wanted really to touch it, mm-hmm. which he didn't at the end.
Well, happily, after Veronica did that interview, permits for the crocodile to travel were obtained. And Rome Zoo organised a lavish send-off for the animal, attended by children waving Vatican, Cuban and Italian flags. He's now adapting to the climate in Havana Zoo, but plans are to release him back into nature as soon as he's ready. That's all from the English feature programme and from me, Linda Bordoni, today. But of course, we will be following Pope Benedict XVI's pastoral journey to Mexico and Cuba step by step. So do carry on tuning in and listen to our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English programme. Laudetur Jesus Christus.